The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
Episode number
178.
And this week we get to talk about something that I love oh so much.
Mm-hmm. Chocolates.
Oh no, I was thinking more like marriage.
Oh yeah,
but
that
I also
too.
Like chocolate.
That too.
I mean, if there is a guest who is well versed in chocolate, make sure you let us know and we can reach out to that individual and we can have them on the Why Me Project.
A chocolatier. But today, no, that's not what we're going to be talking about. As this year has been a pretty intense year for marriages.
Very much so. And so then who better really than, I don't know if we would say a marriage expert, but somebody who just loves to also talk about marriage. And Braden Hafner, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing good, thank you.
Give us a half hour. You might feel differently. We've said that to a lot of people. We like to ask this guilt testing question because we never know where it's going to go. My friend, who are you and where did you come from?
Sure. My name is Braden Hafner, as you said. I'm an Edmontonian, born and raised. I've been married 12 years to my wife, Kristen, and we are the regional directors for Family Life Canada, which is an organization that brings help and hope to marriage.
Okay, so life growing up, if we would have asked you this 20, 30 years ago, what do you want to be when you grow up? Was it a firefighter? Was it a basketball player? What would your answer have been?
Hockey player all the way. Yeah, I grew up playing hockey. That was all I thought about, all I dreamed about. So that's what I wanted to do, yeah.
When did you realize then that maybe the dream was not going to be hockey and it was going to be something else?
Well, it was in my teen years, so I was playing high level, and what happened to me is I just kind of got burnt out. The joy and love of the game wasn't there anymore, and so I quickly realized this isn't probably what's going to be in my future. So that was kind of a crisis of identity at that point in my life, because that's all I wanted to do, was be a hockey player. So I had to kind of figure out what was next for me after that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be a common story, especially in the Edmonton area. We're going to be hockey stars.
That's
and
great.
And then so much work and effort goes into it. Did you kind of feel lost? I mean, you're still so young, but now you're maybe dreaming of a different future.
Yeah, I really did feel lost because, I mean, all that I knew growing up was hockey and sports. And I mean, I still played sports after that happened to me, but my identity wasn't hockey. And, you know, a lot of my acceptance that I felt from others was because of what I could do on the ice. So, you know, when that's gone, who are you, right? Like, what does your life look like and where do you find your affirmation in life? Right. And so it was a crisis point for me because I didn't really know who I was. All I knew was playing sports and being an athlete. And when you don't have that anymore, you kind of have to rediscover who you are.
How long did it take you to finally rediscover and figure out who you were and what you wanted to do?
Yeah, that took a process and some years. It was, you know, in my kind of my mid to late teens, as I was moving away from hockey, I started playing basketball as well. But my journey was following a path that maybe I wouldn't have foreseen before all that went down. So I there was a period of my life during that time where I wasn't following Jesus anymore. And that was, you know, there was a lot of reasons for that. But, I mean, part of it was, you know, that loss of identity, that crisis, right? And I didn't really own my own faith, too, in that period of my life. So through the late teens into even a little bit into my early 20s, I was living a life of partying. And that was, you know, all the stuff that accompanies that, right? And it was, you know, I kind of rediscovered who I was into my early teens in a sense of reconnecting with God. And it was through that process that I started to understand more who I really was. And the years of kind of being in the desert, in the wilderness, led back to, you know, who I really was supposed to be and who God created me to be. So figuring that out led me to the journey where I am now and what I wanted to do. But, you know, that was still a process, you know, saying what I know what I want to do. Well, that's, you know, there's a lot of life lived to figure that out, right? So it was a process, and it's still a process, right? I mean, every year, you know, you just kind of lean into God and see where He's taking you. But so that was kind of where I was in at that point in my life. It was a challenging time, but I'm thankful I went through it because it kind of brought me about to who I am now. So,
what was your first experience when it came to God and your faith?
I was raised in a single-parent home for the first 5 years of my life. My mom raised me, and one of the things that occurred in my life to lead me to Jesus was my mom became a Christian, a believer, when I was about five. And through that process, she brought me to church and taught me what that meant. And So that was my first experience with I guess, church and God. The personal component of that came about when my mom taught me how to pray. And, you know, being a five-year-old kid, you know, one of the things that I really desired was for a family and for a dad. And so I said, well, that, you know, as a kid, you're like, well, that's something that I could pray for. And so with that childlike faith, I prayed for a dad, and God granted me that prayer. And it's really interesting because back then, maybe I didn't understand the weight of that, but now I do. But that was something that was life-changing and impacted my life in such a deep way, because my dad, who came into my life at that point, he's my stepdad, but he's my dad. He raised me. We have an amazing relationship together, and I'm just so thankful for him and my mom. That was the point, though, I think I really experienced God's hand on my life in a personal way.
Did you have or do you have a relationship with your birth father?
Not really. Like, actually, he passed away last year. I never really had a desire to get to know him, just because, you know, when my dad, you know, my stepdad, quote unquote, you know, he was my dad. So I didn't really have a void of any kind that I was trying to look to fill. I felt like I had a dad, right? So it wasn't something that I really sought out or asked for my parents to organize or anything like that. So yeah, I didn't really have a desire. And I don't know if that makes me weird, but it was just something that, it wasn't on my radar. And I think that was God helping me through that too, because my adopted dad, I was finding everything that I needed through that relationship as a son and for him as well. So that was a blessing. I was never feeling at a loss or that I was missing something.
You talk about faith, and you talk about then you're going through this identity and this struggle. What was your parents' reaction as you were maybe moving away from church and faith and going in a completely different direction?
It was a lot of prayer. I don't think they understood what I was getting into. You know, I did a really good job of hiding it, and I think they knew to a point, but they didn't understand. Like, I was at that point in my life, I was getting into alcohol and drugs and partying, and I kept that under wraps. You know, hid that as much as I could. So I don't think they really understood to the point of the depths of what I was doing, but I think they knew something was off. And the really cool thing, though, for them is that they were growing in their faith at that point, and their marriage was strengthening at that point. Even though I was chaotic and my life was crazy, the fact that they were more solid and they had a better foundation at that point in their lives made the world difference for me, too, because I needed their prayer. I needed their support. And even though for them, I'm sure they felt like they were banging their head against the wall, you know, without that support, I think I could have been much worse than I was. So their response really was, I think, just prayer. And they've told that to me. I mean, there was one point I remember my dad, he came beside me one point. I left the church building. It was a Sunday morning, and I didn't really want to be there. I just felt like, what's the point, right? And I left, and I went inside in the car. And I think I was about 16 or 17 at this point. And my dad came out of the church, and he just came and sat with me. And I remember that he didn't yell at me or say, get back in the church or anything like that. He just kind of said, hey, I just want to be with my son. I'm just going to be with you. And that really showed me God's love for me at that point, because God works in that way too, right? You know, wherever we're at in our life, he will meet us at that point, and he'll sit with us. And he just has open arms. He doesn't force us to do anything or twist our arm. And I think I needed to see that, even though I had years after that of doing my own thing. That was a pivotal point for me. And so because my dad was growing in his faith, and he was strengthened in that on that relationship with his walk with God, it made a world of difference for me too. So that was an impactful and pivotal moment in my life.
It's funny because we were reminiscing that we graduate from the same high school, don't really know
right.
each other, but graduation happens. What's next? Then what?
Well, at that point, I still wasn't in a good place in my life. I mean, I was still heading down a bad path. And the group of friends that I had at that point, some did go to the school that we both attended and some didn't, but I started to journey even further into that lifestyle. And it was tough, you know, like I don't think I realized the descent that I was on, and it was a gradual thing. But yeah, after graduating, you know, I was encumbered, I guess you could say, by being anywhere as far as direction in my life, because I wasn't going to school and not really sure what I was going to do. And I eventually did go to Concordia for a couple of years, but that was a little bit later. But through the process of keep going down that bad path, I eventually came to a really bad point in my life where I was starting to party every weekend. My friends were partying well into the week, and it was a summer night in around, I think it was around 20, where things really happened to me that really opened my eyes. And what occurred was I was just with a group of friends. We were hanging out in the West End and at a club, and a big group of us, and they said, "Hey, let's go to the South Side. Let's get some drugs. Let's make this a better night." That was their words. And so we headed to the South Side. I was driving. I was a designated driver. And right in front of actually my home church right now, which is Hope City. And a kid there that was coming on the avenue there, 23rd Ave, the other direction from me, he ran a red light. And he was, I'm not sure what he was thinking, but he had his first day with his driver's license, as far as I understand. And so he didn't really know what he was doing, I think, at that point. I hit his car full force, and it was a bad accident, a bad wreck. It was a miracle nobody was killed, really. And in the aftermath of that accident, I just really felt God speak to me. And it was a moment of complete clarity. And interesting, because, you know, that accident was just a bunch of chaos. I mean, there were fire trucks, police cars, sirens. You know, I didn't really know, you know, at that point what even was happening, because I was in shock. But I had enough more clarity in that moment to realize I didn't want to live my life like this anymore. God spoke to me through that chaos, and he just said, "I love you enough to let you keep going down this path, because I'm never going to force you to do anything. But if you choose to follow me, I have something so much better in store for you." So I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to do that." And that was actually the last summer that I used drugs or did anything like that. And that was a huge moment in my life, because I was at a point where the partying was becoming way more advanced. And, you know, I was getting into drugs that weren't good, that would probably keep me addicted for the rest of my life. So, and in fact, that's a lot the path that a lot of my friends journeyed down as well. And a lot of them lost their life because of that lifestyle. And I had to witness that even at that point in my life. But God plucked me from that life that I was heading down, right at the right moment for me. And through that, I came back to God. I came back to church, and it became more real to me. It became more powerful to me. I mean, this relationship with Jesus was something that I actually desired and sought after. And reading the Bible became something that, you know, I thirsted for. I wanted to do, because I wanted to know about this Jesus that loved me. And it changed my life completely, and it put me on a path towards ministry. And back then, I wouldn't have even thought that would be possible.
Yeah. How does one literally go from, this is my life, it's going down the path I'm sure my family is not really excited about, and then literally did a 180? How did you not fall back into the old lifestyle?
Well, I think there was a few things that happened. One of them was, I did make some smart decisions at that point of distancing myself from some of those people, because I started to see how devastating this life was on them. So God gave me the grace to see some of this. And I did, like I said, I saw some friends go through a really tough time, and some of them lost their life because of that. So even though it's devastating, those stories in their life, God used those stories to kind of show me the way that the path I was going down. So that helped a little bit. And then the other component too was, I just saw the darkness of it all. It's interesting, because it's so tempting to go into that life, especially when you're a teenager. You're looking for kind of that peer acceptance and going to the club and all these other things. It seems on the surface to be desirable, but I got to see the darkness of it all, in the sense that it just didn't provide or give me anything really of meaning or lasting value. And when you came back to God, there was way more there for me than that other life ever gave me. So I didn't want to go back, really. Like, to fall back into it, even though at that point, I mean, I lost my whole friend group, really. I mean, I was on my own. But it didn't matter, because I just saw how powerful it was to walk with Jesus, and how he filled all those needs that I really had, and the desire for acceptance and love I was getting from him. And so all those other things just paled in comparison to the past life that I was in. And so those were the kind of the two things working in tandem. I'm like, I really don't want to live like these guys. And then secondly, I have no desire to go back. I felt like I got a get out of jail free card kind of sense, because, God really showed me how much of a prison that life was. And I didn't want to go back. I really didn't.
So you make these changes then. Was ministry the next goal? Was like, okay, I've made these changes, I got to do something good for myself then?
No, it wasn't the next goal. it wasn't on my radar. Like, I started to get involved at the church more, and I did love serve I love to engage with people and you know, whatever form that is. And, you know, I helped in a lot of different ways. But to be honest, like a vocational ministry, that was something that would have was just a million miles away from me. And it was actually God speaking to me through, you know, as I was serving more and doing things and opportunities came up, he started to show me more and more that that's where he was leading me. And so it wasn't something that, you know, I just woke up one day and said, okay, I'm going to go be a pastor. It didn't happen that way. It was a process of, and it was, for me, often I was running the opposite direction because when I felt God say to me, hey, I want you to go to school to be a pastor, my response was absolutely not. I don't want to do that. There's no way, right?
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to do that. And so for about a year, I just wrestled with God on that. And he kept bringing people into my life telling me, hey, you should go do this. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not even talking to you about this. Why are you bringing it up? I just, they didn't understand what I was going through, but I'm thankful that God brought those people into my life because it was just a confirmation for me that this is where he was leading me. And so eventually I got to the point where like, well, I could run away from God my whole life, but I you know, he's just going to keep bringing me back here. And so I knew I had to do it. I had to. And it was funny because when I did eventually go to school to be a pastor, it felt right. It wasn't something like I felt like I made a mistake or what am I doing? It just felt like this is where I was supposed to be. And even though it was hard, I mean, I was going to school a little bit later in life and most of the people at Bible school were right out of high school or young kids, right? But here I am, and I guess I was in my mid-20s, so I still was young, but I felt like an old man basically going to school at that point. So it was an odd experience, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God led me the way he did. And again, it was a process though. Yeah, it didn't happen overnight.
So when did you meet your lovely wife during this journey? Was it a bridal school kind of situation? Everyone makes jokes about that.
Right. No, when I went to school, I was engaged to her. So we actually met at church. And, you know, it's funny because both of our families know each other. Like my mom and her mom are friends. And my wife, Kristen, she knew of me growing up. But because, you know, like I wasn't involved in the church. I didn't go to youth group. She didn't have any relationship with me. She just knew of me, and I don't really know what she thought of me. I mean, apparently she met me years later, and I had the long hockey hair still. And she was, I guess she was a little disgusted by that. So I don't think that she had any interest in me at all. But we actually connected when we were both teaching Sunday school. So she was teaching grade 6 Sunday school girls, and I was teaching the boys. And that's how we got to know each other. And we just developed a friendship through that process. And it was a gradual thing, but eventually I did ask her out and she said no. But
smart.
She shot me down, but she gave me a great reason. I mean, she just really wanted to focus on her relationship with God. And she'd been through some bad relationships as well, too. And I'm really thankful, though, that she did that because I wasn't ready at that point. She wasn't ready. And we went for about a year kind of our own separate ways. And we were still friends from a distance, but we weren't really too much in each other's lives. But that year was a year of growth for both of us. And I'm thankful we had that year. So even though it hurt, you know, when she shot me down, I am so thankful because I wasn't ready for her at that point. And I don't think she was either for a relationship at that point. So a year went by and eventually we reconnected and through that started dating and here we are.
So
that's simple.
You go to Bible college, then do I call you pastor?
I never tell people to. I mean, you know, quote unquote, I have my reverend, right? But no, that's weird. Yeah. Yeah, just call me Brad.
Okay, so then do you then want to lead church, or then where was the next step once you graduated?
Yeah, so when I graduated, you know, that was my thought. You know, I was like, well, I'll probably end up pastoring at some church. But it was weird because the passion that I had on my heart, that was on my wife's heart, was more in regards to marriage. So we weren't really sure what that meant or what that looked like. And we wanted to serve together, too. We both understood that. I mean, my wife was a teacher. I mean, that's a ministry all into itself. But we both understood that we wanted to do something together. We just didn't know what that picture looked like. So when I graduated, you know, I thought that it would be at a church, but typically the job offers I were getting or the ministry opportunities was for a youth pastor. And, you know, I love youth pastors, but that wasn't where my heart was. I mean, that's a tough gig in of itself, but that wasn't the reason why I didn't want to do it. It's just because my heart was really in regards to marriage. So I didn't want to just become a youth pastor waiting and biding my time until I got the position I wanted, right? So I didn't want to do that. And so I had to wait for about a year of just, you know, kind of working and trying to figure it all out. And it was tough. It was, I mean, a year doesn't seem long, but to me in the moment, it sure did. And after that year went by, I actually discovered the position that I'm in right now online. I found the website for Family Life Canada, and through an email to them and just a correspondence with them, it eventually led me to being hired with them. And so it was really interesting that that's how God worked, but it was something that I'm thankful that it went through that way, because I needed that year as well too. Just like I needed a year with, you know, before I started dating my wife, I needed a year just to really kind of feel through what God was doing in my life. So that's kind of how I came to about being with Family Life.
So you've been with them for how long?
5 years. So 2015 is when I was hired on, or 2014 is when I went through the process of being hired, and then 2015 was officially when I was hired, so January of 2015. So it's been about 5 years.
And then for those who don't know, what is Family Life Canada?
Yeah, Family Life Canada is an organization geared towards strengthening marriage, so bringing help and hope to marriage. And it's a great organization in the sense that we work with couples, we provide great weekend retreats for them and resources and getaways so that they can just reconnect, develop a strength and strengthen their bond as a married couple so that they reveal to the world Jesus. I mean, a strong marriage is one of the best ways to do that, we believe. And not only that, but a strong marriage is great for kids. It's great for community, great for our world. So it's something that, you know, I'm really thankful to be a part of, because that's where our passion lies. We see the value in a strong marriage. That's such an important thing to our society, our culture, and our world. It really makes a world of difference. And so, yeah, that's a little rundown of what Family Life is. And they are part of a bigger organization called Power to Change, which is a large organization that has other ministries underneath that umbrella.
Did you guys ever feel as though you hadn't been married long enough to be able to be in that kind of role?
Oh, of course. I still feel that way. I think it's you know, whenever you're doing something like this, you realize, wow, like, God, you've called me to this, and I don't feel like I have what it takes to do this, but thanks for working with me and working in my life so that I can do this, because we're not perfect by any stretch in our marriage. You know, like, we have a great marriage, but we work at it to have a good marriage. So we're thankful that we can share that with people. But yeah, no, even when we started out, serving together, it was in our second year of marriage, we started running pre-marriage prep classes with others. And we're like, we're only married 2 years. Like, why are they asking us to do this? But, you know, it was one of those things, you know, you just got to be willing. And you do need a certain amount of life behind your, you know, under your belt. But I think really the key is being willing and willing to learn too. So that's, I still feel that way though, even to this day. We've been married 12 years now, and you know, when we speak or we do a talk or we're engaging with a couple, I'm always like, well, God, I need your help, because I don't have the answers. It's really just about being authentic and real and saying, hey, let's journey together. Let's figure this marriage thing out together.
What do you do? Do you counsel? Do you speak? You do pre-marriage? Like, what does your involvement with Family Life look like?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's always confused. People get confused with what we do. They think that we're a counseling service, but we are not counselors. We're on the education and enrichment track. So that's why we provide those marriage seminars and those bigger events where many couples come and he, you know, we're one of the speaker couples that engage in those. But so we are speakers, my wife and I, but we also engage with churches and individual couples as well to help them on that track, the education and enrichment component. So we work with churches to help them figure out how to do marriage well and do marriage ministry. And we engage with them there. And then with couples, you know, we try to help them in the sense of giving them tools to equip them so that their marriage moves from good to great. And I think that's where most marriages are, right? They're more in that center. You get the beginning parts of pre-marriage, and then you get the crisis couples that, you know, and those are the kind of two areas where a lot of people focus on. But what we're trying to do is be in the middle, where I think the majority of marriages are, just to help them move the dial a little bit from going good to great, or maybe even stagnant to some movement towards good, right? So that's where we're kind of where we live, and that's where we focus. And like I said, there's a lot of different ways we do that, but a primary way is through our events and our resources.
You talk about events, but 2020 has definitely been unique when it comes
to
events.
Sure.
But we're also hearing a lot of stats about couples who are not thriving in this current state. It's been really tough. So how have you guys adjusted this year to be able to support couples, and what new projects have you worked on?
Yeah, great question. You know, during COVID, it's been difficult. And like you said, yeah, we've heard the feedback that a lot of marriages are not doing well. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think it's when you dial up the pressure a little bit, you know, the stressors, the triggers that were already there, and the areas that maybe haven't been dealt with in marriages are starting to come to the surface more, and especially when there's isolation and all these different things. So one of the ways that for us we had to figure out is because we're not able to do live events, so we had to go online. And that was one of the very first things we did, is we started to run online webinars. And we ran a great one in the spring where we saw over 7,000 couples engage with this these webinars. And it was powerful because we didn't foresee that, really. We were just like, well, let's try to help. Let's see what happens. And online, being online, we've discovered that a lot of couples, they will engage on that level. They definitely want to do something for their marriage, and that's where they can do it. And they can do it from the comfort of their own home. So we found that actually during COVID, we've been able to impact more marriages and touch more lives that way. And so that's been, you know, kind of a surprising, fortunate thing that we found. And we're really thankful because God knew this was going to happen. And he just directed us to help in the way that he knew would work. So we're, you know, doing webinars like that. And we have another great one coming up November 21st, which is an online, on-demand streaming kind of event that's free. So anybody can tie into it and go to our website, familylifecanada.com, and register for that, because it's something that that weekend is free and you can access it at whatever time or for however long you want to just do something for your marriage. And we think that that can have a great impact on every marriage if you just start to do something. And that's typically, you know, a good point of entry for a lot of couples, because only 1 in 5 marriages do anything really for their relationship. And that's a staggering stat, but it's true. So if this is something that anybody can engage in and take part in that can help their marriage. So we would encourage anybody to take a look at that.
As we say, if it's free, it's for me.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that marriages have to deal with, a lot of difficulties, divorce, I mean, the divorce stats and even divorce in church. But at some point, you also, you started teaming up with a former guest and a good friend of ours, and Matt Klein.
Right.
How did you guys get involved, and what are you guys doing together?
Well, we actually got connected through, it was just actually, I was on a board of another ministry, and him and his wife were going to speak at one of the events, and I connected with him. And as I was chatting with him, I got to hear what his ministry was, and it was right on the radar of what I was looking to do too, because, to give you background, Matt, he runs a ministry called Restored, and it deals with pornography and getting men free from that, men and women. And that really clicked with me because we've seen the devastation that porn has had on marriages and other sexual issues as well. So that was on my radar. I was praying through that. What could we do to help? And then I connected with him, and then we started chatting, and we saw that there was an overlap in kind of what we did or were wanting to do. And through that, we led groups, and then we decided, hey, let's run a conference together. And so the past 2 years, we ran something called Victory Conference together, and it was a great event, a live event. And then when COVID hit, we had to kind of shift, and we decided to do a webinar series that's running right now, actually, for 10 weeks. And that was one component. And then we were running a podcast together as well, dealing with getting porn out of your life. And specifically, you know, for those that are wanting help in the next steps in that avenue as well. So, yeah, it just kind of unfolded, and I knew God had a plan for this when I connected with him. And so he's doing a great thing, and we're happy to partner with him. And it's exciting to see how God's impacting lives through this.
We've come a long way.
For sure.
Over the years. And this is the Why Me Project podcast. So as you reflect on your life, were there any standout Why Me moments for you?
There's probably been a few, for sure. But when I look at what I'm doing right now, I definitely ask that question, why me? And, you know, right now my role with Family Life, being the I'm a regional director for Alberta. So he's brought that role to me in this point in my life. And it's neat to see full circle. And I do ask the question now, why me? In the sense that when I'm sharing my story with you guys, I mean, I'm listening to it too as I'm talking. I'm like, wow, I just seem a very unlikely person for something like this. I definitely ask that question, why me? And I know God's given me an answer to that in the sense that, well, you know, he's not calling perfect people. He's calling people that are just willing, and he's going to use their story. And that's what makes a difference. So I may not be the most likely person for something like this, but it's something that's I'm so thankful for, because it's really sharing what God's done in my life. And I think that's really what he does in all of us, right? I mean, every story has impact, can have impact, and has something profound about it, because God's part of that. So I think that's kind of one why me moment for sure. I'm asking that right now, but you know, it's I'm thankful to see how God's brought me from where I was to where I am now.
FamilyLifeCanada.com, at FamilyLifeCanada on Insta as well. I mean, you said the words, such an impactful story that you have. Pastor Braden, thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
I've emceed my fair share of weddings in the past, and as I've always said before, you're not the first person to get married, nor will you be the last, but it's good to know that you can always work on improving yourself and improving your marriage.
Exactly. It doesn't matter whether you've been married for 1 year, 10 years, 50 years. It's always great to keep the love alive and always keep growing closer together.
So thanks again to Braden for spending some time with us. If you want to, maybe there's a specific topic, maybe there's someone that you want on the pod, here's what you do. Reach out to us, whymeproject@outlook.com. You can also go at whymeproject on all the socials, and then download on Apple Podcasts or Spotify,
so that you don't miss out on anything that we talk about and any of the incredible words of wisdom that our guests have to share.
And check out faithstrongtoday.com for more.